Well, I spoke last week with you, Franz Cronier, and we were suggesting that politics has become a spectator sport in South Africa. It's so full of interesting twists and turns. Today we'll be talking with Makoni Maja, who's a campaign manager at the Institute for Race Relations, South Africa's premier think tank. She'll be giving us her insights into the latest developments. Makoni, lovely to be talking with you. I know it's the first time we've chatted, but I have to assure you that you come very, very highly recommended. A number of people in your industry say you're the rising star. So I'm glad that we've managed to latch on, or at least to have a conversation today. But what is it? What does your title mean? Campaign manager? I know the IRR, it's been around for 100 years or so, but what is a campaign manager there?
Hi, Alec. It's so good to be here on the show. And whilst it is my first time on here, I have watched Biz News quite a lot. I'm an avid subscriber, so huge honor to be here and to have some of my heroes in this space champion for me to be on the show. Campaign manager at the Institute of Race Relations. Yes, the Institute has been around for over 100 years now. And essentially, we roll out campaigns in defense of South Africans and their liberties against government policies that threatens those freedoms. And that takes various formats. Recently, that has been opposing policies such as the National Health Insurance, formerly Bill, now Act. It has been passed into law. And some of our other work in this space has been against the expropriation bill, BEE, a lot of the racialized pieces of legislation and acts of parliament. We have been known to oppose that throughout the existence of the Institute. So I'm basically in charge of campaigning for those issues.
And the IRR has been against government, not just this government, which maybe latecomers or newcomers to the scene might have thought, but against governments pretty much in the last 100 years. What is it? What is the North Star at the organization?
Yeah, so we've had to reinvent ourselves. You can imagine race relations looked very different before 1994. And the IR certainly been around far longer than even when democracy dawned on our shores in South Africa. At present, our focus is really growth oriented. We want to see South Africa growth be more widespread and also far more inclusive than it currently is. And so a lot of our work has been geared towards economic growth, and we have released a few publications this year in that direction. One of them is known as the Blueprint for Growth. That has been the anchoring report that we have launched about what steps the government can take to ensure that those people who have been marginalized for far too long are finally included in South Africa's growth trajectory, and what we can do to maximize on some of those gains we have lost throughout the, let's say, 2010s.
Yeah, it's an interesting direction that the IRR is going towards, because without growth, I guess there's nothing, is there? And growth requires empowerment of people, and empowerment is not just what the politicians tell us, but more importantly, empowerment of ideas. But right now, let's talk politics, because this is, it's bemusing. The story of what happened in Tshwane is now, I think, pretty well known. Sidiya Brink, the mayor, was ousted by a vote of 120-87. But the latest emergence of news is that this is part of a much bigger play. Now, you follow these things avidly and closely. Just paint it for us. Paint a picture for us of what exactly is going on in Gauteng and why the vote ousting Sidiya Brink was so important.
Yeah, so coalition country. We are well into coalitions and the governance of coalitions. I know the metros have had their fair share of changing mayors as a result of the coalitions and changes of hands of power throughout those cities. Specifically looking at Tshwane and the ousting of Sidiya Brink, it seems there are various things that were happening there that resulted in Action SA deciding to put forward or support a motion of no confidence against Mr. Brink. And whilst Action SA's position on this has been changing, initially it was that they wouldn't sit around while maladministration and mismanagement of funds was allowed to continue under Mr. Brink with an Action SA deputy, Nosipho Moyo. That quickly evolved into the idea that the DA was waiting around to, in Mr. Herma Mashaba's words, stab Action SA in the back by going into a coalition with the ANC that would essentially exclude Action SA. So it seems various reasons have been evolving from Action SA's side specifically to justify their decision, because obviously it wasn't, I suspect, as well received as they thought. And so I think that's certainly one of the reasons why the goalposts in terms of reasoning for why they decided to make the move have been changing. So yeah, he has been removed. And I suppose now the question is, who will be the next mayor? Previously, Action SA, in fact, an article by Mr. Herma Mashaba, he stipulated that they wouldn't go into a coalition with the ANC blindly. But one must question what he meant by that, because there have been news recently about whether the ANC will field its own mayoral candidate instead of supporting Action SA's candidate, which does indicate to me that there hasn't actually been an arrangement between the two parties, Action SA and ANC, and that Action SA certainly didn't, determine their future in securing a deal with the ANC to say exactly what they wanted out of it, which is, of course, to have the position of mayor. So yeah, the reasoning for Action SA's moves have been altering, I must say. And it also seems that they have, in fact, gone into this deal with the ANC blindly, despite what they had earlier provided.
We suggested in one of the interviews that Chris Steyn did with Herma Mashaba that it was a big risk that he was taking here. And he said it's no risk, because if it doesn't happen that they are part of the new government, he would be happy to go into the opposition benches. But the whole thing seems so fluid, especially now that there is discussion of taking the government of national unity down into the metros and even into the provinces. How much credence do we give that talk?
I mean, I think it is incredibly consequential. Voters are particularly exhausted with how many times we've had to change mayors in the metros, where stability is generally important, but especially in those economic hubs of the country, specifically in Gauteng. And so to speak flippantly about, as Mr. Mashaba has, about this not being important, I think he's totally undermined the exhaustion, certainly on the part of the voters, with the seemingly meaningless changes in mayoral candidates. So I think it will matter, certainly in the next local government election. I think voters will be more careful about where they place their votes, because they've seen the ability of splintered votes to really trigger instability in their cities, which definitely affects governance. It affects service delivery. And so it's something that needs to be considered with far more seriousness than Action SA, I think, has demonstrated.
Talking yesterday with Muzime Mani, who's like yourself, an independent from outside in many ways, although he has got a political party, but it's very small at the moment. And he said he was pretty horrified by the way that things have evolved in Tshwane, but that this does also point to something bigger. And I think what many people are seeing is that the government of national unity seems to be working quite well. Could that not be brought down to provincial and then to metro level? What are the chances of that occurring?
Gauteng is definitely one to look out for. And I must say first that I've been a skeptic of the success of the GNU, simply for obvious reasons, because there are underlying ideological differences between at least two of the biggest parties within the GNU, that's the ANC and the DA. But I've recently been able to make sense of it, just observing how well the members of cabinet within the GNU are able to get on and actually get work done, it seems, very early on even at the inception of the GNU, and that a lot of the conflict really comes from the politics aspect, where it's the parties themselves who are really contesting for power and seem to be disturbing or even attracting a lot of the attention, taking the attention away from the work of the GNU. And by GNU, I really want to ring fence it around people within cabinet. So that distinction has really helped me make sense of why the GNU can succeed and hold till the next election, is to distinguish the party players. That's your general secretary generals of like the ANC and Ms. Helen Phillips, federal council's chair of the DA, and distinguish their actions from the actions of the people who sit in cabinet. And so I think that those people who are negotiating on behalf of the ones who are doing the work on the ground, the members of cabinet, it's up to them to determine the success of a government of provincial unity. Now, I'm also in favor of autonomy. I don't think that all the provinces should necessarily walk in lockstep with the GNU. I think that if provinces have found that coalitions beyond the GNU serve the provinces themselves, they should definitely pursue that. But it must be said that despite the fact that there's a lot of news and a lot of talk in the media about how, you know, like-minded parties like Action, like the ANC, the EFF, and the MK, at least we've heard the South African Communist Party go on about this, that the ANC should align itself with like-minded parties. That rhetoric just has no follow through. We've seen over and over that there've been breakdowns in working relations in a city like Ekurhuleni between ANC and the so-called like-minded parties, particularly the EFF, and even reports coming out of the ANC supporting this. You remember that the Daily Maverick reported on two reports, the one that was submitted to the ANC's NEC by David Makura, and the other one was submitted to a commission by the ANC's National Working Committee by Jongisi Ziwe Tsabata. And both of those reports showed that the EFF uses, this is according to the reports, right, that the EFF uses coalitions with the ANC to strengthen themselves, and that defectors of the ANC are likely to defect to those like-minded parties. And so the ANC has found itself between a rock and a hard place, because whilst it should be working with those like-minded parties, they're also the bane of their existence, because that's where the ANC loses its members and its constituencies too, right? And then there's also this constant conundrum in the media where the ANC is being confronted with people who oppose the GNU and who oppose it working with the DA, when the GNU seems to be actually strengthening the ANC's position, I'd argue. So yeah, I think that the ANC will find themselves at least negotiating for the GPUs between a rock and a hard place, specifically in Gauteng and in the Gauteng metros, because while a lot of the rhetoric is that they should be partnering with parties like them, parties with similar policies and positions like them, they also lose a lot of their membership and constituencies to those parties.
And the whole story of Lesufi, the Gauteng premier, fighting with Ramaphosa, is there? It's been so well reported now. There's got to be some smoke.
I agree. I think Lesufi has grown in popularity among ANC supporters, and I'm sure that they are eyeing the next the people in the ANC are eyeing for the position of president, because we know that ANC presidents are recalled in their second term, and Mr. Ramaphosa has entered his second term. So it's only a matter of time if the ANC's history is anything to go by. And so I'm sure Lesufi is looking to build a name for himself. I mean, we saw him and how he approached the negotiations for the GPU with the DA that led to him forming a minority government. And so his bluff was called because he was lowballing his office to the DA, and the DA simply walked away, which he did not expect. But I do think he's trying to make a name for himself, despite the fact that by aligning himself with parties like the EFF and the MK, despite the fact that there's no support for that from the reports within the ANC, from the ANC Veterans League, perhaps there are factions, I'm sure, within the ANC that are anti-GNU. I don't think that they will hold out necessarily, because the NC must strengthen itself from the out and the inside. But I do think that where there are tensions between Mr. Lesufi and the president, I think the president ultimately will have to rein him in if the ANC is to dust itself from the position that it's in now and climb back up.
From an investor's perspective, we've seen a strengthening of the rand from nearly 20 to the rand ahead of the election to just around 17 to the rand. That's seismic. We've seen bond rates in South Africa's borrowing rates, in other words, creditworthiness, improve dramatically from a global perspective. So the international community is saying they like the GNU. They do believe it's going to hold. But what is it going to take to convince locals that these people who prepared at last to perhaps put money into this country to help this developing country to develop, that their actions are based on some rational fact?
Yeah, I think those messages are not being communicated to South Africans in a way that makes it relevant to their day-to-day lives. And so I think we, specifically in the media space, in the political analysis space, need to make a case for why the GNU has strengthened the rand and why that's been in the best interests of South Africans. And one of those ways is fuel prices, right? Fuel influences the prices of goods across the board. Delivery of goods does not take place without fuel, and delivery can drive up the cost of goods and services. And so South Africans needs to be demonstrated to them that if fuel prices are cheaper, then their lives are essentially, they're able to get more value for their rand. Their rand goes a far longer way than it did even months before the GNU. And so I think it's really up to us in the media class to speak to South Africans in a way that they understand, in the way that they can connect to those messages with things that are immediate to them, needs that are immediate to them.
But not just to the public generally, but even to people in Parliament, because we hear, again, to quote Muzi, he says, the people in the executive, they get it. They get the GNU. They love it. But not everybody in the ANC who's sitting in Parliament actually agrees. They're not really seeing this as being much benefit to them and elsewhere throughout the organization. So I suppose communication is very important.
Yeah, I wonder how much of that is also due to the effect the GNU will have on people whose interests are not necessarily in the best interests of South Africans ultimately, right? Because we've seen how these non-ANC GNU ministers have been able to come in and expose a lot of corruption that was previously concealed and that we would have never known of and would have never been dealt with. And so a lot of those non-ANC GNU ministers have brought sunlight and exposed a lot of the corruption that has been happening within government. And obviously that has exposed a few of those people within Parliament who I don't think in good faith show a lack of understanding in some of those scenarios you've painted out about bonds and markets and the rand, certainly. So I think it has a lot. It may be a bit more nefarious than we're giving credit. I think it's just that their interests, which were self-serving, are now being thwarted by good governance, by accountability, and certainly by rule of law, seeing the law being applied equitably across the board and having people being held accountable and being held accountable for their actions, which they previously were not.
At a provincial and perhaps, dare we say, at metro level in Gauteng as well?
Yeah, that one is a very difficult case because we've been changing mayors so frequently, it's hard to keep anyone accountable. But I think we will have to wait and see what happens in Tshwane there, because there is also the chance that Celia could be reinstated, though I think very, very slim. But even there, I think you're seeing a lot of incoming mayors, from non-ANC mayors, having to deal with a lot of the previous administration's corruption. So even that has been a problem for the ANC, allowing people outside of the party to come and investigate and expose corruption that was previously hidden from the public because of party lines being towed.
Fascinating. It is a spectator sport indeed. Makoni Maya is campaign manager at the Institute for Race Relations. I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.